You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning, beautiful people. I'm believing today that God has something for each and every person that's in the house today. I really do. When I say things like God has something for you, or you made a good decision to be in God's house, I really believe that that's true. That's just not something that I just say as in empty words, because we serve a God who's alive, who's present, who's working, and he knows each and every one of us. He knows our individual needs. He knows the situation in our lives, in our families, and he's very, very aware of what we're dealing with. And so I'm praying this morning, I have been praying that God, for every person in the house, that God would have something very specific that you would receive today. My name is Andrew, and it's my pleasure to continue our series this morning called The Upper Room. Actually, we're concluding it today, just talking about building an upper room and visiting the upper room as a church. The upper room is a place and an experience that together corporately we can build as a church together. Of course, we can visit the upper room individually in our own homes, in our quiet place, in our secret place, in our prayer closet. But there's something very unique that happens in the church as we gather together with the saints and visit that place. And so I'm going to talk with you this morning about how we can do that as a church family. I do want to just highlight for you what was mentioned just a moment ago, the Seek God for the City. Most of these are out this morning, but they are available as an app. And the reason I want to mention it to you is because during this 40-day period that leads up to Easter, this is a perfect time for us to dedicate ourselves to getting deeper into God's presence, deeper into his word, for setting time aside to meet with him. And we need to do that, guys. We need to do that in our families, in our homes, as individuals, that we would actually be serious and more serious about getting connected with the Lord. So these booklets, as well as if you have the app, what you'll notice is every day there is a prayer guide, and there's a number of different things that you could pray for every day. So it's really designed to be something that you can use throughout the day. You can pick one or two things and pray about it. And so every day there's nations to pray for. And actually, if you have the app, you can dig into the specifics of each of those nations. Some of these nations you may never have heard about. And if you want to learn about them and learn about their needs and what the Church of God is doing and within those nations, you can click on that and learn more. There's always a verse for the day or verses for the day. And then there's a special focus. Today, for example, the focus is on praying for international visitors, those who are in the United States from outside the world who are here, and we can pray for them and bless them. Sometimes they're here to coming to live. Sometimes they're here to study. Sometimes they're here for a period of time to work. Whatever it is, we can pray for them. So this is a wonderful thing to do in the morning as you get up. It's a wonderful thing to do in the evening around the dinner table with your family. You might pick one or two of those things, give assignments around the table to pray. I just want to encourage you, make sure that you take the opportunity and advantage of the opportunity to do that, and let's seek the Lord together as we prepare ourselves for Easter Sunday, which is about 40 days away from now, and celebrating together the resurrection of Jesus. As we begin this morning, I want to do something maybe that's a little bit different than what we normally do. Normally, I would just kind of get right into the message, but I just felt this morning in the first service that it would be worthwhile for us to take a moment and kind of do an exercise of being the church together. If you're here, you're part of the church. If you know Jesus Christ, you're part of the church, and you're part of this house. And I know that whenever we gather together, there are some that come that are excited to be here, that are ready to worship. And then there are some that are not feeling it so much. And if you're here this morning and you're not feeling particularly close to the Lord, you're feeling distant from him, maybe you're feeling broken, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling maybe dirty from something that you did this week, and you're just feeling acutely aware of, like, I really need to draw close to the Lord. I really need to feel the Lord's presence. I really need to feel that he loves me and he accepts me. We want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. The book of James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise that if we then take a step towards the Lord, that he's actually going to take a step towards us. And if you're in that situation today where you just know, I need to draw near to the Lord, I'm feeling on the outs, and I want to take a step moving towards Him, then we want to pray for you. And as that step of faith of just saying, I'm drawing near to the Lord, I just want you to raise your hand and just say, that's me. I'm feeling distant to the Lord. And hold your hand up for a moment here. Just as this is a sign of faith, an act of faith. I need to draw near to the Lord. Now, what we're going to do, and there's hands all over the auditorium, is we want to pray for you guys. And we want to be the church. And the church of God is a family that we pray for one another. We lift one another up. So if you're around someone, actually, I just want to make sure that everybody with their hands raised, that we pray for them. And that might mean you need to get up out of your seat and put your hand on them, their shoulder, their elbow. We want to be very respectful, but we want to make sure that everybody with their hands raised gets prayed for. So if you're not used to moving around, then this is the time. So if maybe you've never prayed for anybody, this is an opportunity. This is a workshop. So I'm going to take a moment here, and you look around. I know everybody's like frozen, like, oh no, am I going to have to get out of my seat? Well, maybe. Maybe it's time. So just look around for a second to your left and to your right. Somebody's raising their hand. Make sure everybody, we want to make sure everybody gets prayed for. Everybody gets a hand placed on their shoulder, on their elbow. Let's make sure everybody gets prayed for. I can wait a long time, guys. Okay. Feel like we got everybody covered? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just pray with me? And church, just begin to pray right now. Right in your seat, just begin to call out to the Lord. We thank you, God, that you're here today. We thank you, Lord, that you have an appointment with every person that's in the house. We thank you, Jesus, that you're a God that's not far away, but you're close at hand. We thank you for your word that says, when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. So we lift up right now our brothers and sisters that are feeling distant from you. And we're just praying, Lord, strength and grace and life and forgiveness and hope and restoration and healing and all the things that you have for them, Lord, would be poured out upon them right now. We don't know all the details of their situation, but we know what it's like to feel distant from you. So, Lord, pour out right now your love. Pour out your spirit. Lord, just pour out the sense of your embrace wrapping around them, letting them know that they are special, that you love them, that you are concerned for their needs, that you're not surprised by what they're going through, but you promise to be with them. And so, Lord, right now we just pray an infusion of your grace, an infusion of your presence, an infusion of your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here today. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in our midst. Would you be real and present to every person who's reaching out to you this morning? We just pray that there will be a life to those, Lord, who are seeking you. There would be an openness to heaven, that they would sense once more, Lord, in a new and fresh way, your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, guys. You may find your seats there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're talking about the upper room, and we're going to conclude our series today about the upper room. And the upper room is a place where we find particularly in Acts chapter 2, most of us will be familiar with that passage when the church is waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells them, listen, there is a gift that I have for you, the Holy Spirit I want to send to you. I want to send you the helper that's going to be with you always. And so you need to wait for him. And so the church is obedient, and they go into an upper room, which is basically a second floor room. It's a room on a roof of a home in the Middle East. And for a period of 40 days, they seek the Lord's face. They pray, they press in, and they wait for the Lord in that upper room space. And the Holy Spirit then comes and visits them and sends them out in fresh power. The upper room is a place where heaven touches earth. It's a place where the unfortunate become fortunate. It's a place where the broken are healed. It's a place where the church gathers together in one mind, in one purpose, in one accord to seek God's face so that when they come before him, they understand that their purpose is to worship him, and then he then sends the church out. I think that's what's beautiful about the upper room. The upper room really happens when the church gathers for the purpose of worshiping God, and then God always responds, and he empowers the church to go outside of the walls. Sometimes I think the church gets stuck inside the walls. We just think it's about experiencing wonderful worship and just feeling the warm fuzzies. But the reality is that God is always going to respond, and he's going to send us out. He's going to send us out to the world, send us out to our family, send us out to our coworkers. And there's a sending that he's doing. But what I want to really have you catch this morning is the fact that in the upper room, there is something that we are required to do. And I want to make sure you hear this. If you're a part of the Church of Koinonia, or maybe you're visiting this morning, you're part of another church, I want to be very clear that there is a responsibility that you and I have of doing a certain kind of work in God's house. That when we come to church, we don't come to church just to receive. We actually come to church to give. And so I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles in just a moment to Ezekiel. But before I do that, I want to look at a couple of verses with you just to lay the foundation. There are notes on YouVersion. So if you brought your phone or your iPad, you want to take notes in that way. If you go to YouVersion and under the More tab, there's events, and you'll find Koinonia's notes, all the outlines and notes for today. And there are some blank pages in the seat backs in front of you that you can take notes. What does Pastor Andrew say about note taking? He likes it. He wants you to do it, right? If you want to say, Pastor Andrew, I'm listening today, just grab a piece of paper and act like you're taking notes, okay? And then I'll think that you're paying attention. But I do want you to write some of these things down. I want to begin with you in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And it says this: as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Now, this is a moment when the church is gathered together here in Acts chapter 13, and they're gathered together to seek the Lord's face. And the word that is used there, as they ministered to the Lord, is a specific Greek word we're not necessarily familiar with, because even the way that says, in some translations it just says, as they worship the Lord. But in this translation, which is truer to the Greek, it says, as they ministered to the Lord. And I think it's interesting because we don't, I think, when we think about that word ministry, we don't think of ministry as something we do to the Lord. We think of ministry as something that is done to people that are broken or that are needy, right? We go and we minister to those who need to be ministered to. But here it says that the church is ministering to the Lord, but why would the Lord need to be ministered to? And it's not that he has need, it's that there is actually a work of worship that has to be done. That word in the Greek literally is the word that we get our word liturgy from, or liturgical. And liturgy literally means the work of worship. The work of worship. Worship, in the fullest sense of the term, is not singing. It is work. It's not just giving, just singing, just doing whatever with your mouth. There is actually work that's involved in worship. The work of worship is something that you and I, as the people of God, if you're a Christ follower, this is your job, this is your calling, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, if you don't know Christ today, if you're not a Christ follower, then you're exempted from this. You're invited into it if you want, but the reality is, if you are a Christ follower this morning, this is your main job. It is to do the work of worship. And here's the problem, I think, when it comes to the work of worship. The problem is that we are Americans, for the most part, and we tend to view church the way that we view a concert. And in a concert, you buy a ticket, and you go and you are entertained, right? And if you're not entertained, I want my money back, right? So the problem is that we tend to, because of our American nature, we tend to view church as a place where we go to receive something, as a place where we go to be entertained. There's like a concert every weekend, right? There's a worship band with hopefully great music. There's a lecture that happens. Somebody gets up and talks and hopefully is engaging and entertaining, right? And they may or may not be good looking. You know, but there's different elements of the things, but the truth is that the church is not a concert, and it's not a lecture. It's not a place that we go and we buy a ticket. When you give your tithe, it's not like you're paying your money so that you can be entertained. It's the wrong concept entirely. The truth is that the church is a place where we go to do the work of worship. Now, you might say, well, what is the work of worship? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. I'm so glad that you asked this morning. The work of worship is actually something we are called to do before the Lord. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, I've got this verse on the screen. It says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, that is the work of worship. When we offer spiritual sacrifices as believers today, we are actually doing work that the Lord desires us to do. Now, in order to understand fully what we talk about, we have to talk a little bit about sacrifices. We have to actually go to the Old Testament. And I'm going to give you a little background. I'm going to give you a little theology. I don't want you to go to sleep. Are you with me this morning? I don't want you to get lost this morning. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 44, and we're going to look at the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the work of the priests in the Old Testament. See, we are on the other side of the cross today. We are under the new covenant. We're under the blood of Jesus. And we're looking back at the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, what we see now, according to the scripture, is a type and a shadow that we are drawing spiritual understanding from. But when we look at the Old Testament, and it says things like they offered sacrifices to the Lord, that was a literal physical sacrifice. They were sacrificing animals before the Lord, blood for blood, covering for sin that needed to happen. But on this side of the cross, Jesus, who is the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, slain for the sin of the world, there no longer needs to be any more sacrifices. In his blood, it is sufficient for all of our sins and all the sins of the entire world to be covered. And so there's no longer any physical sacrifice that needs to happen. But there still is spiritual sacrifice. There is still work to be done. The question is, what is the work that we do? Like, what are you talking about, Pastor Andrew? You come into church and do the work of worship? Well, we're going to talk specifically about what that means. So Ezekiel chapter 44, we're looking at the Old Testament because it gives us an understanding of the principles of worship. We're going to draw from the physical examples. We're going to draw a spiritual insight, and we're going to talk about what it means to do spiritual sacrifices today as the people of God. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. Ezekiel 44, actually the prophet is giving us a contrast of two different kinds of priests. Priests that are not really true priests and priests that are true priests. And we're going to talk about what the true priests, according to what the prophet Ezekiel is saying, this is the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, saying this is the kind of worship, this is the kind of sacrifice, this kind of priests that I want today. Now, you and I, on this side of the cross, we're called to be priests. We're a royal priesthood. Every person within Christ is a priest today. Now, in the Old Testament, only certain people could be priests. But in the New Testament, all of us are called to be priests. All of us are called to be holy before the Lord. All of us are invited into this relationship. This is what it says in verse 15, but the Levitical priests who are descendants of Zadok and who guarded my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me, so these are the ones that are true priests, he says this, they're to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood. That's that physical sacrifice of animals that had to happen, declares the sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and serve me as guards. Verse 17, when they enter the gates of the inner court, they are to wear linen clothes. They must not wear any woolen garment while ministering at the gates of the inner court or inside the temple. So notice here it gets very specific about what the priests are supposed to wear, their uniform. He says they're not supposed to wear clothes made with wool. You might say, well, why would that be? Verse 18 answers that question. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waists because they must not wear anything that makes them perspire. Verse 20, they must not shave their heads or let their hair grow long, but they are to keep the hair of their heads trimmed. No priest is to drink wine when he enters the inner court. Verse 23, they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. And verse 25, a priest must not defile himself by going near a dead person. And then it goes on to tell some more things. Now, these verses, I want to draw from these what it looks like for us today to bring spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Now, if you are a royal priest and a holy nation, which if you know Jesus Christ today, if you have given him your heart and your life, then you are in fact a priest in his kingdom, okay? So when I say pray, you can pray, because if you know Jesus Christ, you're invited right now to pray before him. You don't need anybody in between you and Jesus. You're the one that's actually offering sacrifices before him. In the Old Testament, the priests stood in between God and man. They stood in between God and the people of Israel. They were mediating, and they are the ones that offered the sacrifice. Now, nobody stands between you and Jesus, right? You are the one that now offers sacrifices to the Lord. Now, how do we do that? Well, let me give you just a couple of things, and this is what I want you to write down. And so if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about how to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, the main principle that I want you to catch here is that we offer spiritual sacrifices through faith. By faith. That is, when we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord believing that what he says in his word is true, and by faith we step into it. When I had you raise your hand just a moment ago for those that are feeling distant from the Lord, I said, now by faith, as a faith act, I want you to raise your hand. You are demonstrating your desire to step towards the Lord, and now he's going to step towards you. Now, the belief that when you draw near to the Lord, he's going to draw near to you, that requires faith. That means you need to believe that what the scripture says is true. So I'm going to do it, not because the thing is going to do it. Raising my hand is not going to do it. Right? This is not, there's no magic in raising my hand. When Chad said, raise your hands up, you know, we're doing that by faith as an act, demonstrating to the Lord that we take seriously what you say, God, that we believe that even though we can't see you with our eyes, we believe what the scripture says, that you're alive, that you're real, that you're working. And so I'm going to step into it by faith, believing that you see everything and that you're going to honor my faith and that you're going to step into it. So these things that we talk about, we do them by faith. Somebody say by faith. It's all by faith in the kingdom. It's all by faith in the kingdom. Now, the first spiritual sacrifice we're going to talk about is this. I offer a spiritual sacrifice when I draw near to the Lord. The very first thing that we do if we want to go into the upper room is that we have to make a decision. We're going to draw near to the Lord. When you come into God's house, when you came into church this morning, your mentality should be, I'm coming for the purpose of drawing near to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, it's really important because that purpose in your heart and your mind by faith is what dictates what you're going to receive that day. I was speaking to someone after the first service, and he said when he comes in on Sunday mornings, he comes in, he verbally says out loud to the Lord, Lord, whatever you have for me today, I'm willing to receive it. He comes with an expectation that he's going to draw near to the Lord and that the Lord is going to meet with him and that he's ready to receive what the Lord has. Now, drawing near to the Lord means that you're going to step out of your sort of comfort zone, your life, whatever it is that you're in, your circumstances, and you're making a move to God, right? We already quoted James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so drawing near means you're taking steps intentionally to leave life to some extent, the distractions of life, the other things that are trying to pull away at you, and you're going to put your heart, your mind, and your attention on the Lord. That is when you maybe are going to spend time with the Lord reading his word. Maybe you're going to spend some time talking to him in prayer. Maybe you're going to spend some time in worship this morning, like we did just a few moments ago. You are deciding, I'm going to adjust my focus and put my mind on the things of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when that happens for me, I immediately, if I've decided I'm going to read the word of God, I'm going to spend some time, Lord, getting serious with you, I'm going to draw near to you. Whenever I do that, immediately in my mind, I start to think of all the things that my wife asked me to do that I need to do. I think, oh my goodness, I forgot. I need to take out the trash. I think, oh, I need to call this person. I need to make sure that this is done. You have that experience, right? The moment that you want to get serious about meeting with God, your mind goes off with all the things that you have pending to do, and you start to worry, I'm going to forget that. Oh my gosh, it's so important. I can't. It's because, number one, you get quiet for a moment. And in the quietness, your mind starts to speak to you about the things that are pending. And you're trying to focus. And so all those things that you are right there that you know you need to do start coming to your mind. And you're like, well, what's going on? Well, number one, you're trying to quiet your mind. And what you need to do, just go ahead and write those things down. Don't say, well, I guess I can't meet with you, Lord. I got to go do this other thing. You just say, okay, Lord, that's right. I need to make that phone call. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, my wife asked me, I'm going to do that. Whatever. And you sort of you say, okay, you don't just resist those things. You don't just say, oh, don't think about that, Andrew. And you think, I got to take out the trash. If I forget to take out the trash, it's going to be big trouble at home tonight. Oh, my goodness, my wife is never going to sleep in the same bed with me again. I got to make sure she, you know, just write it down. Just write it down. Get it out. Right? And then set aside. Why? Because I'm moving away from the things of this world for a moment, and I'm putting my focus and attention on the things that are important to the Lord. And so rather than doing the wrestling act, I'm actually learning how to keep walking towards Him. If you come in and worship on Sunday morning, one of the ways that you can draw near to the Lord is that you get into the house. Oftentimes, you got to close your eyes because there's all kinds of other things going on around you, right? People doing their thing that they do, right? You know, and people making noise. They want to talk to you. And what you need to do is you need to say, no, I'm actually going to draw near to the Lord. My purpose here is not to have a visit with other people. Now, that's great. I'm not saying don't visit with other people. I'm just saying get the priority correct. That when we come into God's house, we're doing it for Him. We're doing the work of worship for Him. We're not coming here just to get good relationship, just to get good information for the week, just to get a little pick-me-up, a little shot in the arm. I'm actually coming as a priest who is designed to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so I'm not going to let anything distract me from that. I've come to draw near to God. The second thing is this, is that when you and I offer spiritual sacrifice, when we wait on the Lord. So drawing near is the first step, but then there's waiting on the Lord. Verse 15, Ezekiel said, they are to stand before me to offer sacrifices. There's something that they're doing in standing before the Lord. Waiting, in this sense, is work. When we wait on the Lord, we are actually waiting for His desire, not for our desire. If you ever waited tables, you've been in customer service, you know the principle of waiting. You know that the people who you're serving, it is about what they want, not what you want. If you've gone to a restaurant before and you wanted to order the steak, and the server starts to argue with you and tell you, oh, no, sir, you don't want the steak, you want the chicken, you're thinking, I'm in the wrong place, right? Because you're supposed to be waiting on me. That is, your focus is on my desires, what I want, my priorities. It's not on your priorities. That is the act of waiting. The act of waiting is to say, you, this other person that I'm waiting on, you're what's more important right now. When we come into God's house, when we're setting time aside to meet with the Lord, we are waiting on Him, which means I'm laying down my agenda, what I want, and all the expectations for the way that I want it, and I'm actually saying, Lord, what you want is most important. Now, that's difficult for us. Because when I come before the Lord, I usually have a list. I usually, you know, on my list is some of the people. Some of you guys are on the list, right? Some of the problem people. My wife is on the list. My kids are on the list, right? There's certain things that are on the list that I'm thinking, Lord, I need an answer to these things. I've got a financial concern. I didn't answer this financial concern. I got this report from the doctor, God. I have this thing that I need to happen in my body that you need to fix, Lord. And I'm worried about this situation. And so I come with my list and I come before God and all I want to do is I want to talk about my list, but the work of worship says what I'm supposed to do is wait. But what about my list? What about the things, God? He says, I'll deal with your list if you simply are willing to deal with me. If you simply will allow me to be king, allow me to be Lord. See, the truth is that the Lord is always going to meet every need. I mean, that's just what He promises. He's going to meet all of our needs according to His riches in Christ's glory. That's what the Scripture says. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and He's going to take care of all of your needs. The issue is not that the Lord is going to take care of your needs. The issue is, are you willing to put yourself into a place where you put your needs to the side because the one who meets the needs wants to meet with you? And you say, Lord, I'm here to meet with you. And even though I want to go through my list, what I realize is what you want, Lord, is the most important thing. And if you're willing to wait on the Lord, He begins to speak to you. And you're oftentimes surprised about what He says to you. He reminds you of things that you need to deal with. He reminds you of maybe some forgiveness that you need to ask for. or forgiveness that you need to give. He reminds you of that thing that you haven't dealt with, that he told you to deal with. He reveals to you something that's going on in your heart that you weren't aware of. That thing that is just not right. And he's saying, would you deal with that thing right there? But that doesn't happen unless you're willing to wait. And if you wait on the Lord, you'll discover that he's adjusting and changing and moving things. And when it's his agenda that's priority, you'll discover your agenda ain't that important because it's not about you. When we come to church, we have to remember, it's not about me. When we come to church, it's not about you. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we have that perspective, then we'll understand that as we gather together as a church, we are creating an upper room moment. The way we create an upper room moment is that we are gathering with one mind and one heart. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says they gathered together with one accord. That means one mind and one heart. What is the one mind and one heart? We come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and him first and him alone. We don't come just because we all have our separate agendas, because the truth is, look around the room this morning, there's a lot of people here this morning, a lot of people, a lot of different backgrounds, different ages, different ethnicities. Thank God for the diversity that's in the room. The only way that we come together in one accord is to meet with Jesus Christ. We come to lift him high. We come to declare his name above every other name. We come to say, God, you're worthy of all praise. You came to save us. You rescued us out of the domain of darkness. You brought us into your marvelous light. You've given us a calling and you've given us a purpose. And so we come just out of an expression and a desire to give praise to the King of Kings, who's worthy of praise and worthy of honor. And Lord, if you don't do anything else with my list, that's just fine, because you've done everything that needs to be done. You went to the cross. You gave your life for me. And so I'm just here to worship you. Now, when we come together in one accord like that, God says, oh, there's some people that I want to draw near to. He says, now there's a church that understands the priority of worship. They understand how to draw near. They understand how to wait. They understand that it's not just about take, take, take. It's about give to the Lord what he is worthy of, what he is due, and he is worthy of everything. He's worthy of all praise. But that requires us to have a different perspective on what our job is when we come to church. Our job when we come to church is not to get something. Our job when we come to church is to give something to the Lord. We have a different perspective. What we're doing is we're coming in, Lord, what would you like today? What do you want today, Lord Jesus? What kind of praise do you want me to say? How would you like me to live my life for you? How would you like me to adjust the way I'm doing? Now, that's a whole different way of living your life. That's a whole different way of coming into his presence. So we draw near to him. And we wait on him. And the third thing is that we praise him. I offer a spiritual sacrifice when I praise him. Are you guys still with me? I know you guys kind of get quiet for a second, so I just want to make sure I'm not losing you. This is a high calling. This is something that we do as the people of God. We're not just coming together just to clap our hands and sing some songs and feel good for the rest of the week. We're coming together to worship the King of Kings. And when we're united in that purpose, then he will speak and he will empower and he will send us out. He will take the problem is not that he won't meet our needs. He'll always meet our needs. The problem is that we oftentimes are seeking our needs to be met, not understanding our job. So this is our calling. This is our job. This is our purpose. When you come into the house of Koinonia, I want you to come with an understanding. I am here to worship. I'm not here to be convinced to worship. I'm not here to be convinced to pray. I'm not here for Alfred to tell me to clap my hands. I'm already doing those things because I understand who I am. I'm a priest worshiping the Lord. Now, God is looking for people who are coming into the house, they're already worshiping, right? Before the worship service begins, they're worshiping. Before the worship service again, they're praying. They're saying, Lord, I'm here to meet with you. What do you want to do today? They're not here just to get something. They're here to give something. Number three, I mentioned already, I offer a spiritual sacrifice when I praise the Lord. So Hebrews 13:15 says this, through him, that is through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Now, when we're talking about praising the Lord as a spiritual sacrifice, that means a sacrifice is something that costs you something. A sacrifice is not something that's easy. A sacrifice is something that takes work and effort and energy and actually costs you to give it. And so when it says that you're here to offer a spiritual sacrifice, it connects spiritual sacrifice with the fruit of your lips that acknowledge his name. And so that means what comes out of you in praise is a sacrifice to the Lord. So when you come in to the house on Sunday morning, you shouldn't have to be convinced to praise. You shouldn't have to be convinced to sing the songs of worship. It's not about whether or not the music is good or whether you're feeling it that this morning. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a sacrifice of praise. As a matter of fact, it's more of a sacrifice when you don't feel like praising than when you do feel like praising. So if you come into the house and you don't feel like it because you just got mad at your kids or your spouse or you got in trouble at work or something happened and you're not feeling like it. Some days I just don't feel like it. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just unholy. But, you know, some days I'm like, I don't like these songs. I don't like this worship leader. I don't care for the keys that it's in. It's hard for me to sing. They got a lot of words. I'd like to go back to the old songs where they just have a few words and I know them all by memory. And I can come up with 10 million reasons why I don't want to worship today. And God says, big deal. So what? It's a sacrifice of praise. It is something that you decide to do when you don't want to do it because God asks you for it. Because if you are God's, that is, if you are in Jesus Christ, he has given his life for your life. That means he owns you. That means it's about what he wants, not what you want. Otherwise, you just don't understand what you got yourself into. Right? Maybe you didn't understand what you got yourself into when you gave your heart to Jesus. When you gave your heart to Jesus, that means he gave his life, his blood was shed for you. He died for you. That means everything that you are is now his. The way that you do life, the way that you do your money, the way that you do your family, the way that you work at work, everything that you do now belongs to him. And your job and my job is to say, Lord, how would you like me to do it? It's not, I don't know if I feel like it today. God, I'm here, and your word says I'm supposed to offer up a sacrifice of praise, so I'm going to open my mouth. And it's not enough for you just to keep it in your heart. The reason it's not enough to keep it in your heart is because the heart, inside is just one level. There's another level when you have to take what's in your heart and bring it out. You begin to declare praise to God, and you say, Lord, you're worthy despite the circumstances, despite how I feel this morning. I don't really want to worship you, God, but I know that I should worship you, so I'm going to worship you, and I declare today that you're worthy of praise and you're worthy of honor. And when you begin to do that, you're actually speaking it and you're hearing it at the same time. You're making a declaration out to yourself, but you're also making a declaration out to the invisible realm, to the enemy and to all the foul spirits that exist and everything that's opposed against you and to the people around you. My purpose is to praise God. So don't talk to me right now because I'm in God's house. Don't distract me right now with that other stuff. I'm going into the courts of the Lord. I'm going to say, God, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. Everything that I have is yours. I'm not going to let back. I'm not going to stay back. I'm not going to be embarrassed about what's going on around me. I'm here to worship you, God. Don't let me be distracted. I'm going into the house of the Lord. I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to draw near to you. See, and we got to press in a little bit further. If we want to go to the upper room, you got to be willing to give the fruit of your lips. You let it come out. And if it's hard, that's okay. You just keep doing it. You keep pressing into it because when you do that, that sacrifice is beautiful to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. You might say, I don't know how to do it. All I know how to say is hallelujah. Well, shout hallelujah, doggone it. You begin to press in. You begin to stretch. You take those baby steps. And as you do it, you'll discover you'll grow. And you'll begin to learn. And you'll begin to say, oh, now I understand. Why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I press in before? And so you offer a sacrifice when you praise. Next, you offer a spiritual sacrifice when you honor the Lord. When you honor the Lord. Verse 23 in Ezekiel 44, it says, they're to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. Now, it goes through all of these things, as we read a few moments ago, that the priests were to do. They weren't to wear woolen garments, they were to wear linen garments. They weren't to cut their hair in a certain way, too short or too long. They weren't to actually marry certain kinds of people. They weren't to touch dead bodies. What is that all about? All of that is about being holy. All of that is about honoring the Lord. All of that is about learning to live your life in a certain way that we are putting Him first in everything. So how do we honor the Lord? I'm going to just give you these principles real quick. There's, I think, four of them, and they all start with W because I just wanted them to start with W, okay? So there's nothing spiritual about that. But I'm going to talk to you about your work, honoring the Lord with your work, honoring the Lord with your wealth, honoring the Lord with your wisdom, and honoring the Lord with your witness. And let me just do this very, very quickly, and then I want to pray with you. The first thing is this: we have to honor the Lord with our work. Now, Ezekiel says they shouldn't wear wool garments. They should only wear linen garments because they're not supposed to sweat when they worship the Lord. Now, you'd say, well, what's up with that? What's up with perspiration, you know? Well, the issue is that sweat represents work of the flesh. When you go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, right after the fall, the very first time that sweat is mentioned is after Adam and Eve sin, then the curse happens, and the Lord tells them, now, Adam, from the ground, the only way you're going to bring fruit is by the sweat of your brow. And so sweat represents physical activity. It represents a work of the flesh as opposed to the work of the Spirit. It's whenever we decide, I've got to do something to earn God's goodness. This is all about what I do on the outside. That's a work of the flesh. See, the reality is that when you come into the upper room, it's not about how much you have done. And a lot of times we run around and we're trying to gain people's approval or even sometimes God's approval, and we're doing all the things. We're doing all the service things. We're doing all the ministry things. We're doing all the things that we know how to do, but we're just driving ourselves crazy, and usually the people that we live with crazy, because we're trying to earn something out of a work of the flesh. The reality is, in the upper room, it's about a work of the Spirit. No amount of running around is going to fix the problem. A lot of times running around masks the problem. And people say, you know, how are you doing? And you start to say, well, I served here, and I gave here, and I did this, and I did that. And they said, no. What's going on in your heart? I don't want to know about the work of the flesh. I want to know about the work of the Spirit. When you come into the upper room, the Lord begins to talk to you about your heart. He doesn't just talk to you about what you did in terms of how much you served or how much you gave or how you were nice. He talks to you about the true motivations of what's going on inside of you. He talks to you about how you need to forgive that person that you think is unforgivable, and you're still justified in your heart and your mind about why you should never forgive them because they're rotten. He talks to you about how you need to ask forgiveness. And you say, well, I don't need to ask forgiveness. They're worse than me. And he says, it's not about that. I'm dealing with your heart. He talks to you about how you need to serve and how you need to love and how you need to be kind and how you need to be gentle and how to be more patient. Those are works of the Spirit. Those aren't works of the flesh. And many times I would rather do a work of the flesh than deal with the work of the Spirit because it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for me to serve you in an outward way than it is for me to actually ask for forgiveness. And it is for me to actually be a servant. It's a whole different thing. But if we're willing to honor the Lord and say, Lord, if that's what you want, yes, sir, I'm willing to do it. You want me to forgive? I don't want to forgive, but because you said it, I'm going to do it. You want me to give? I don't want to give. I don't want to go there. I don't believe that I have enough, but because you said it, I'm going to give. I'm going to do what you said. Now, that is how you honor the Lord with your life. We come to Him and we say, Lord, what do you want? I'm willing to be obedient. So that's the first W in honor, is work. The second one is wealth. We honor Him with our wealth. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And so our money, we know Jesus talked about money more than He talked about any other subject other than the kingdom of God. And we know that Jesus said, your heart, where your heart is indicated by where your money is. Where you put your money, where you invest your resources, where you're spending your hard-earned cash, that's where your heart is. And many times our heart is not about honoring the Lord, it's about honoring Sears is gone, Target or Walmart or Best Buy or Amazon. Amazon has a significant part of my heart, it seems, right? Hobby Lobby, ooh, there's one. Thank you very much, right? This is audience participation time, right? Where's your heart? Well, just name the store that's over it, right? Or, we invest money in so many different ways. We spend money in so many different ways. And the Lord says, remember, your wealth is a significant way for you to honor me. If your money is messed up, you probably don't have it aligned in a way that honors God. And this is not about like I'm trying to get money for you from you today. I'm not, the offering is taken. I'm just talking about the principle of honoring the Lord. If you put the Lord first in your money, then you'll discover that life begins to go so much better because he begins to align things the way they need to be in your finances. Thirdly, with my wisdom. 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. One of the ways that you can honor the Lord is by learning enough about him that when someone says, tell me about Jesus, you have something to say. And far too often, we're not willing to do the work of investing in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, learning about the Word of God, so that when someone comes and they need someone to tell them about Jesus, someone to encourage them in the faith, we look inside of our heart and we haven't put anything there. We haven't honored him adequately. And so we have to actually be willing to dig in and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to take this seriously. I'm a person of faith. I'm a person that follows Jesus. I better know what Jesus says. I'm not just going to go by what Pastor Andrew says on the weekend or by my ability just to remember some nice points that he says. What does the Word of God say about it? I want to go to the Word of God, because if I have the Word of God hidden in my heart, then I'm always going to have something to offer to someone that needs me to explain the hope that I have in Jesus. Why do you believe in Jesus? Well, you'd better study the Scripture so that you have something to let people know. And then lastly, honor the Lord with your witness. 1 Peter 2:12, be careful to live properly. Somebody say properly. Live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. The way that we live our lives around our family, around our friends, around our coworkers, the way that we live our lives can either bring honor or dishonor to the Lord. The way that we behave, the way that we talk, the things that we do, the things that we watch on television, the things that we think about, the places that we go, all of that is a question of, Lord, are you first in my life or are you second to the things that I want? And when we begin to honor him in everything that we do, people begin to say, oh, wow, there's something different about your life. See, when you honor the Lord, that means you're lifting Jesus high. You're lifting him high in your life. And Jesus himself said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me. So the way that you live your life every day is an opportunity to live Jesus, to lift Jesus high. See, Jesus is the one that does the work. He draws people to himself. But if we're not lifting him up in our lives, then our lives are not really a reflection of him. And he's not able to draw them through us. He's looking for someone, he's looking for a people, he's looking for a church that's willing to put him first in everything. If we do these things, these spiritual sacrifices, the reason they're called sacrifices is because they're work. But if we come to God's house willing to do the work, boy, he'll show up. This will be a church that will be so full of God's Spirit, so alive. His voice will be speaking. You'll come into the house and you'll hear him. You'll discover he's empowering you to go out for the week. You'll find out that because you put him first, because you decided, you know what, this is not about anything else other than God himself, you'll discover that in this place, boy, it'll be on fire. Because when we put God first, he always, always comes. Would you stand to your feet? Let's just do that just for a moment. We just got just a few moments before the service is over. But I want us to end the service just by simply exercising the work of offering a sacrifice of the fruit of our lips. So just close your eyes. You may lift your hands, you may not lift your hands, but I just want you to begin to speak out loud your praise and your honor and your glory to the Lord. Just begin with your voice out loud. Don't whisper it. Just begin to speak and just declare, thank you, God, for your goodness. I declare you're King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords. You're the greatest and the most wonderful one. You have opened heaven for us. We declare today, Lord, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of our lives. Everything that we have belongs to you, Jesus. You came and you gave your life for us. You came and opened heaven for us. You came and gave us, Lord, when we didn't deserve forgiveness, you gave us forgiveness. So we lift up praise to you today, Jesus. We declare you're first and foremost. You're the Lamb of God, slain for the sin of the world. You've given us a hope and a calling. You visited us, Lord Jesus. You've come close to us and you haven't forgotten us. Even when we have forgotten you, God, you've never forgotten us. You've never abandoned us. Even when things are bad around us and our circumstances seem to be falling apart, we still can declare, you're God, you're King, you're Lord, you're the ruler, you're sufficient, you're all powerful, you know everything, you're not surprised by anything. Lord, we praise you today because we are in secure hands when we're in your hands. We just once again put ourselves right at your feet, right, Lord Jesus, on the solid rock. We're standing today in faith and in hope, knowing that you're in charge. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that when we seek you, you take care of the rest. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Now, let's just for a few moments, let's just be quiet. Let's just be very, very silent. Let's just wait on the Lord just for about 60 seconds. No shouting or no clamoring. We're just going to wait. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your word says that those who wait on you will have their strength renewed. God, we just ask today that you would fill every heart, that strengthen, Lord Jesus, those weak areas, that you'd fill us, Lord, once again with your spirit, your presence, your power. We thank you, Lord, that when we wait on you, we realize we have a new perspective, Lord, on your priority. Thank you that you give us that sense that you are first, that you've got it all in the palm of your hand. Thank you, Lord. If you just put your hands down just for one more moment, if you just let me one more moment just talk to those who are here today. We've been talking about going into God's house and building the upper room and offering spiritual sacrifices to him. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, that's where it all begins. That is the launching place. That is the place that is necessary for you to have that relationship with the Father. And you know perhaps today that you don't have that relationship with him. And I just want to just give that invitation today that he freely offers to you forgiveness. No matter what you've done, for all the sins that you're carrying, for all the brokenness that you're carrying in your life, he offers the divine exchange of his life for your life. And if you know that you need that this morning, then we want to pray with you and we want to just have you receive everything that he has for you today. And so would you just raise your hand if that's you and you know you need to not be sure that you don't leave this place to see that hand without that relationship with him. Anyone else here today? I see those hands. Yes. Raise them high just between you and the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's just say this together. Lord Jesus, we come to you today broken and in need. We're asking you for forgiveness. We're asking you for new life. We're asking you for the Holy Spirit. Would you make us clean? Would you give me a new start? Would you make me your child? In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.